Chapter 2, Christian Experience. At the age of 15, I was baptized and united with the Christian church. But at the age of 20, I had buried myself in the spirit of study and school teaching, and had laid down the cross. I had never descended to the common sin of profanity, and had not used tobacco, tea, and coffee, nor had I ever raised a glass of spirituous liquor to my lips. Yet I loved this world more than I loved Christ and the next, and was worshiping education instead of the God of heaven. In this state of mind, I returned home from my second and last school, when my mother said to me, "James, Brother Oakes of Boston has been lecturing at our meeting house on the second coming of Christ about the year 1843, and many believe the doctrine. And there has followed these lectures a good reformation, in which most of your mates have experienced religion." I had regarded what was commonly called Millerism as wild fanaticism, and this impression was confirmed by hearing one James Hall of Maine speak upon the subject at the house of worship at Palmyra. But now that my mother, in whose judgment and piety I had reason to confide, spoke to me upon the subject in words of earnestness, candor, and solemnity, I was shocked and distressed. In spite of me, conviction would fasten upon my mind that these things might be so. But then, how could I have it so? I was unprepared, and my plans for this life were made. The conversation continued. "But, Mother, this preacher Oakes, of whom you speak, professes to know more than the Lord and his angels in teaching the time of the second advent. Christ himself has said, 'But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.' This man Oakes is certainly wise above that which is written. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. God gave the time to Noah. The Bible says, 'My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Noah had this time given him in which to build the ark and warn the world, and his message, based upon the word of the Lord, that a flood of water would destroy man and beast from off the face of the earth, at the close of the 120 years, condemned the world. Jesus also says in this connection that there shall be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and adds, 'When ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.' But Paul has said, 'For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.' 1 Thessalonians verse 2. This language is very plain, and shows that as the thief, in the stillness of night, quietly seeks his plunder, without giving notice, so Christ will come when least expected. Hence, this idea of warning the world of his soon coming is a mistake. But James, of whom is the apostle in this verse speaking? Not of Christians, but of the ungodly. They will not receive the warning. They will not be looking for Christ. They will be buried up in the spirit of this world. They will be saying peace and safety, and they will be suddenly and unexpectedly destroyed. Not so with those who love Jesus and his appearing. They will receive the warning. They will be looking for, waiting for, and loving the appearance of the dear Savior, and that day will not come upon them as a thief. Notice with care the two classes mentioned in the two following verses. One is the ungodly, the other is the brethren. The day of the Lord will come on one class as a thief, but not so with the other. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. My good mother was ready to meet, calmly and pleasantly, all my objections, and I was now disposed to view the subject as worthy of my attention. And when in the house of God, I heard my schoolmates speak of the love of Christ and the glory of His appearing, I was deeply impressed that the hand of God was in the Advent doctrine.